It's awesome they have here.
What?
You say Skype for the snowshoe. That never works. Okay. Okay, we left off yesterday with the Rosh's theory that permeated our entire sugya, and that's the notion of Chayz V'Neir. It is such a chiddush that the Rosh is the one who is presenting this Chayz V'Neir, because the Rosh of the previous sugya was the biggest, strongest supporter of the theory of Issa Nepech Liyoset, that we would have expected him to be the biggest anti-Chayz V'Neir, and yet he is the biggest supporter of Chayz V'Neir. We don't know yet why that is, but we do know, but I don't want to keep on telling it to you, but we know what the reason is going to be. But before we understand conceptually, logically, why the Rosh believes Chayz V'Neir is true, we're just walking through his rayas. So he has four very, very strong rayas to the effect that there is a concept that Allah calls Chayz V'Neir. Again, the idea of Chayz V'Neir, the term doesn't really appear in the Gemara explicitly. I mean, it appears in other places, but it doesn't appear mamish, black and white in terms of Yerodeah, the term Chayz V'Neir. But the Rosh believes that it's true, and he decided to talk about it on our sugya because it is the follow-up or the antithesis when we think of Lifto Baruba. So even though there's no Gemara on the topic, we're still learning the sugya here because this is where the Maisa word appears in the Rishonim. So the Rosh walked us through two rayas yesterday, some complicated rayas from sugyas relating to Truma. The first one was had something to do with Hagbasa Truma. Hagbasa Truma is the exception to the rule, otherwise we would say Chayz V'Neir. Then we had the second raya about that Heter is Chayz V'Neir, so Kavacham Issa is Chayz V'Neir. Those are the two rayas that, again, at least were in the realm of Issa V'Heter Tarabasim, one the Issa, one the Heter, but at least they were somewhat shy after that topic. Then the Rosh moves on to an extra raya, which is relevant because it's Tarovas, but it's not relevant because it's not Issa V'Heter, it's Tumah V'Tahara. And in order to appreciate and understand the Amkus of this raya, the Rosh, we have to really, really learn the Gemara carefully. I don't remember that I put the Gemara itself on the Mamakos from the Chayrus, where I just trusted everybody to look it up. I hope everybody looked it up, or at least looked at it carefully in the Rosh. So the Sugya is discussing the following, about the status vis-a-vis...
In the Rosh.
Yeah. So the Gemara is, the Chayrus is talking about Halakeach Tzir, a person buys this big barrel of fish brine, Tzir, or something, I don't know what Tzir is exactly. It's something of some kind of a briny kind of a liquid, Min Amaret, from somebody who's not trustworthy in the realm of Tumah V'Tahara. And the question is, does he have to assume that this Tzir is Tami or is it not Tami? So the Gemara says that we don't really know what the facts are, because depending on how much water is in this Tzir, will determine whether it's really Tami or not. So the truth is that this barrel of Tzir is really a combination of different ingredients. It has some outright water in it. Now, water obviously is subject to Tumah. On the other hand, it has some real Tzir in it, some real heavy-duty concentrate, briny kind of stuff, which is not really an Ochel, not really a Mashke, so it's not really subject to Tumah V'Tahara. And the problem is, of course, for our purposes, he has a Tarobas, he has a mixture of the two. And there's no way of knowing whether it's the rove water or not. If the rove would be water, then you would have a problem. If the rove is tzir, then you wouldn't have a problem. But again, there's no way of actually knowing that. So Chazal came up with the following. It's a great solution. Take this barrel and walk it over to a mikvah and do the following to it, to hashaka, to the meha mikvah. Touch quickly this mixture to the waters of the mikvah, and shalom Yisrael. Now, lest the person thinks that what you just did was you were tovel it in the mikvah, let me inform you that that is ridiculous. Okay, why is that ridiculous? Because tefillah in mikvah was only said for two kinds of things. It was said for people, and it was said for kelim. There was no such thing as being tovel a tome apple. If somebody touched an apple, the apple came tovel into the mikvah. It'll get wet, but it will not become tohor. So the principle of tefillah b'mikvah has no relevance to ochel hamashkin. So what are you doing here? What you're doing here is a totally different principle. What you're doing here is as follows. It is being tucked away in hilchos tumah v'tahara called hashaka. What hashaka means is when you have water, this has nothing to do with wine, with apples, with a piece of cake and bread. Water. Water that is tameh can become tohor again. Not through tvila b'mikvah, that doesn't exist, because this is not Adam and Kalim, but it can become tohor by becoming botel to the meha mikvah, because that's the thing about it. What is a mikvah? A mikvah is made out of water. So when you take water that's tameh, and you mevatel the water that's tameh to the meha mikvah, so it loses its status of tumah. That principle is called hashaka, And all that's necessary is just a little bit of a touch, a little bit of a touching it together, and that accomplishes the goal of Hashakas Hamayim. Those are Mishnayos, those are Sugyos, the Ferish Din. That's the Lishum Safek. There's such a din called Hashaka LaHasir HaTuma, not based on the Via, not based on the principle of Tzvil Brit. This is not to the Mikvah. This is Hashaka LeMei HaMikvah. There is a machlekes as to what the derivation of the word Hashaka comes from. What is the etymology of the word Hashaka? If you ask most people, they think it's related to the word Meshika, like kissing, like the water's kiss. So there are some who probably say that, but there is a collector's item, a radak in Sefer Yoel, just in case you're interested. There's a radak in Sefer Yoel that says that that's not where the word Hashaka comes from. He says it's based on the Paskin of Torah for Shevashuva, Veishiku HaYikavim, which means like liquids overflowing. So not a lashon of kissing, but a lashon of overflowing. So again, just in case you're interested what the etymology of the word Hashaka is from. So the bottom line is, there is such a principle of Hashaka. Just parenthetically, do you think this principle is important for us? Lemaisa in Washington Heights and Tashin Pei? So probably not, because we don't have Tamei water, and we're not really interested in Tamei water. We couldn't care less than that water is Tamei. So the Tashin Pshat is, at least the way Chazal present the principle of Hashaka, it doesn't seem to be too relevant for us in a realm, in a world of non-Tumah V'Tahara. So it may be relevant for us in the following. There happens to be a din that Mayim She'uvim, water that was in a Kli, happens to be disqualified to be served as Mei Mikvah. Mei Mikvah has to be water directly from the sky, collects into the ground, never went through a bottle, a cup, and a bucket, a pail, etc. Mayim She'uvim is possible, of course. There may be some, it's actually possible in the Torah, some in the Rabbanah, sometimes it depends. Again, we're not learning the false right now. But the bottom line is, Mayim She'uvim is, everyone agrees, is absolutely outright disqualified for being part of the Mikvah. Nevertheless, the Mishnayos in Maseches Mikvos describe to us that if you take Mayim She'uvim and you touch the Mayim She'uvim to a Mikvah, so then that Mayim She'uvim now can be used. You can actually be Tovel in that Mayim She'uvim. So let's say a famous scenario. Let's say you have a Mikvah. You have a Mikvah of, it's called Megishamim. And now you have a little hole over here. Probably better to do it this way. This is a Kosher Mikvah. And now I have a little tub over here of Mayim She'uvim. This is Megishamim, this is Mayim She'uvim. The din is, I could be Tovel in this as well. It's perfectly okay. How did that happen? Mayim She'uvim is puzzle. How does this work? So, it's a fair issue that works. So, how does it work? What's it based on? So, the Rush, by God, it's the Rush. Not related to, I mean, it is the same Rush, but not related to this guy from the Rush. The Rush has its famous theory, in the three quotes, that what's taking place is the principle of Hashaka as well. That even though the Gemara only speaks explicitly about Hashaka vis-a-vis Tumah Samayim, says the Rush, well, what's the difference between Latahir Mayim Tumehim and Lahakshir Mayim Shuvim? I can hear somebody say, there's a big difference between the two, but the Rush says there's no difference between the two. And therefore, we know there's a din of Hashaka Latahir Mayim Tumehim. We know that this works. Mishnah is that this works. So says the, excuse me, says the Rush, the only way to explain how this phenomenon works, this must be an application of Hashaka, and must be Chazal extrapolated, although the initial din of Hashaka was said vis-a-vis Tumah Samayim. It must be, there's no difference between Latahir Mayim Tumehim and Lahakshir Mayim Hashuvim. That's the Rush's famous theory.
And that only works if Mayim Hashuvim can be bought up to the Megishamim.
What do you mean, like robes and stuff like that?
Yeah,
no, there's nothing to do with Tarov, there's nothing to do with robes, nothing. Touches, kisses, touches, overflows, right? Whatever Hashaka is, that's all that has to happen. That's a famous, famous sheet of the Rush.
How would anyone else explain this Mishnayos, if not like the Rush?
Oh, very good. That's a perfect question. Very good question. So how would anyone know? Isn't the Rush obvious? So Rabbeinu Yerucham, who was a Talmud of the Rush, quotes that there were others who disagreed with the Rush, who say, no, but that is not what it's based on. It's not based on. Shaka was only said vis-a-vis Tumah V'Tahara. It was never said vis-a-vis this. So what is this based on? This is based on a totally different halacha. This is based on halacha that, not that the Mayim She'uvim is kosher. The Mayim She'uvim is still possible. But there's a din called Kol Mechubel Mikvah Reel Kemikvah, which means that when I'm toveling in the Mayim She'uvim, I'm toveling in pasul water. But since the pasul water is touching the kosher water, we view it as if I'm being tovel in the kosher water. So according to the Rush's Lomdus, I'm being tovel in kosher water because the psul of Mayim She'uvim has been removed. According to Rabbi Yeruchim's Rishon, his other Rebbeim was saying, no, that the psul has not been removed. It's kosher anyway, because we view it up again as if I'm talking here. My nafkamiti in the Rush Rabbeinu Yeruchim, anyone know? What's the big difference? Oh, does the hole have to be opened enough? So according to the Rush, once I opened the hole for a split second, so then this mayim lost its status, like the mayim tmeim became tohor, and therefore I can be tovel even if I subsequently close the hole. Whereas according to Ben Yeruchim's Rebbeim, I can't do that. According to his Rebbeim, the Mayim Shuvim remained psulam. The only thing is that kol's ma that the mechubar to the Meha Mikvah, they would be acceptable. So this is the famous machlokes, the Russian Rebbe Yeruchim. The beer that I just said to you is Reb Chaim's beer. Reb Chaim spells out, but I just told you in 2 minutes, he elaborates upon this. Anyway, bottom line is, this is a very, very important issue, halacha l'maaseh. This makes or breaks a lot of mikvahs, because one of the things that we do in a modern day mikvah today is that the what's called the bor tefillah, when you go into the mikvah, the woman goes into the mikvah, she is not going into water that came from the sky, not by a long shot. The water that she's going into is water that came right out of where? Right out of the faucet, right out of the hose, right out of the sink, right out of the New Jersey plumbing. So how's it working? The mouth, how's it working? So it's working through many, many mystical, magical ways. So one of them is, if you take a look, you'll notice that there is a hole. And if you follow that hole, where will you end up? You'll end up in the collection of rainwater that is not Mayim Shuvim, that was actually never touched by a clay. And those two waters are touching one another. So the question becomes, must that hole remain open at the time of tefillah or not? So according to the Rush, there is no reason to keep that hole open. According to Ben Yeruchim, if you don't keep that hole open, then you're probably totally going to make that possible in the Torah. So that would be a pretty serious question, okay? Shulchan Aruch paskin be'ikra de'lekulam, like the Rush, Rashi says the same as the Rush. So Shulchan Aruch doesn't even quote the other opinion. And the Shach quotes Rabbi Yeruchim. He says that lechachil should try to be machmir Rabbi Yeruchim. That's why amikvos today are built in such a way that the hole actually is kept open at least b'shas tevila in order to satisfy Rabbi Yeruchim. We have 15,000 other things you want to mikvos. So even if somebody closed up that hole or something, don't worry about it. You're still good to go. And mikvos are built today with a lot of insurance policies in the background. So even if one trick fails, the other one's going to follow. We have a lot of things because things tend to go wrong, so we don't want to make sure. We want to make sure no one's had cars. Fine. Okay. Anyway, get back. This is not our topic. So there is a topic of hashoka, and hashoka does exist to Vitar for sure. That's a Mishnah. That's a Gemara. So comes the Gemara in Mecheres and says, "I have this big bucket of tzir, and I have no idea whether it's tummy in the first place, because quite frankly, I have no way of knowing is it rov mayim, is it rov tzir. Rov mayim, it's tummy. Rov tzir, it's not tummy." So what do? I do a shaka as a safeguard. And now I'm good with my shaka. Why? If the rove was actually tzir, so tzir is not subject to a shaka. Shaka is only set on mayim. So if the rove is tzir, what I'm doing now is meaningless, it's pointless. That's the bad news. What's the good news? Yeah. If the rove is tzir, then it was never a problem in the first place, because tzir is not makabel tumah. And if by some bad chance my luck is against me and it's not a rove mayim, so gevalt kashrigin, it was tamei. That's the bad news. And what's the good news? So you're in a shock and you're good to go. That's what the Gemara says. Salukech, tziyam, yav, aretz, mashikon, v'tahorim, v'monashach. Monashach, it's going to be okay. For the rov mayim, it's good, because hashach, or rov tzir, it's good, because it was never done in the first place. How does the Gemara put the brakes on this? What does the Gemara say? That the tzir is okay the way it is, by Shehu Sham. And if you want to just use this tzir as kind of like a dip or something, you want to just dip your vegetables into this tzir, that's fine. But what if you want to use this tzir for what? For cooking. And you want to pour some of this tzir into a pot which has, what in it? Has what? Has water in it. Now you have a very, very big problem. Why? Because once you start to mix water with this tzir, you now may be changing the numbers, the number game. And once you put water, added water, by cooking, so you're adding, it doesn't matter whether you cook, you're just pouring water, it doesn't make a difference. The idea is you're adding water to this mixture, you may put it over the top. And now, it's going to become what? Now it's going to be nikra al shem what? Al shem mayim. Now the hashoka that you did before was what? Maybe not valid, maybe not acceptable. Why? Because if at the time you did the hashoka, it was rov tzir, so the hashoka wasn't teifes. And this mixture was technically tahor, by Shem was tahor, but the minute that you change the numbers and you swamp it with more water, so now you have rov mayim, and the rov mayim that was here all along that was tamei, all of a sudden has a what to it? Experiences what great phenomena? Is it chias amesim? What do we call that? Chias v'neyur. What do we not say? We don't say that. Well, no problem. If the water was the rov, then hashach was chal. If the tzir was the rov, then the mayim tmeim were betalim, and they lost their tumah li'olam vod, and it's not going to come back again. We don't say that. We say the tumah was in slumber mode. It was down for a little bit. It was waiting in the background, Adam Naked has to come back. Once the numbers are going to bring it back to life, it's going to come back in full force, and it wasn't covered by the Hashach, because the Hashach was done at the time and it wasn't the row, so it wasn't Nitfas on the Hashem Hashach. And now you're back to square one. You have Mayim slash Tzia that's now Tomei. So Gemara says that the Feirush, that's Chayze V'Neyor. So says the Rosh, Zetman Fandah, that there's a principle called Chayze V'Neyor. What's the difference, says the Rosh, between a Dovar Tomei that was Nispatil, that comes back to life, and that, and a Dovar Usser that was Nispatil, that's going to come back to life. So the Rosh dove up with Sugi, Masechet V'Chayrus, that's very close to the Ma'am. I'd say that this Raya, it's a certain sense closer to Raya number one, and number two is Raya to number one. Why? Because even though we've shifted out of Issa Meheta to Tu V'Tahara, but it's still similar that it's a bad thing, it's the problem becoming both. Remember what was the problem with the Rosh Hashanah second Raya? In the second Raya, it was the good thing being Batel, remember? In the third Raya, and the first Raya, it's the bad thing being Batel. So, the best Raya, the Rosh, was number one. That was like the Gevaldik Raya. It was Paravis, it was the Sebehet, it was Yisur, because of Batel. Raya number two and Raya number three, each one is branching out a little bit. Raya number two was Tarovis, the Sebehetir, but it had the wrong thing being Batel. Raya number three has the right thing being Batel, but it's not Tarovis, the Sebehetir, it's Tumatara. But the Rosh says, what's the difference? Tumatara, Issehet, it's all the same thing. The only thing that matters is Tchesem. The only thing that matters is Chesem.
What?
Isn't
the Tamei water still
Mi'ot? No, but once the water, this is the tricky one, once the water is no longer the meal, so now there's the water gets its shame again, and now I have some Tamei water in there, that Tamei water will never be covered in the rest of the water. So you don't say Tahar water is bottled with Tamei water, or vice versa, that you don't say. The only bottle in something else, right? That you wouldn't say, I hear you have a minute, but that's wrong.
Okay.
It's not bottle, it's not bottle in that way, yeah, that way it's not bottle.
Why doesn't Hashaka work if the Tzira is wrong?
Because a shop was only top of water. And then this chetzer is not called water now, it's called tzir.
The Gemara Mechorz is also talking about where you don't know how much water was being added. We're not saying that it was definitely batel berov.
We have no idea what the numbers were in the barrel, the original barrel of tzir. We have no idea what the numbers were. Maybe it was 60, 40, 46, we have no idea.
Yeah.
So Kozman that we did a shak on, we were good with Chol HaDeis.
But now
when you add water, so now you're no good according to one side. It could be Lu Yitzuyer that it was rove water from day one, then you're good to go because then you experience that shock and you're good, but you don't know that. And there's no way to ever figure that out.
But I'm saying,
so you have suffolk tummy water in front of you. I don't know, Pasha, I don't know. The Miman of Shechtas fell off. You know, I don't know for 100% that it's tummy.
But it's also not, why is this arrived for Chos of Veneer? It's not that each drop keeps falling in, it's that the whole thing came at once.
So then we would have said that once it was Batel Berov, so it's done, it's history. And it's gone goodbye. It's never going to come back again.
Well, now this new water.
The new water is not Tomei.
Oh, fine.
This Batel Berov is the same Batel Berov that we have.
Yeah, but that's part of the Rush's assumption. The Rush is assuming that the regular rules are a bit low covering this also. So we're going to have to see. That's part of the Rush's assumption. And then the Rush comes in with the grand finale, Raya number four. And Raya number four is fascinating, Raya. It has absolutely nothing to do with Tarobis in any shape or form. And yet the Rush, his understanding, his Recha Kedish, his Chap in the Sugya, Sua, in the parish of the following din, relevance to Chesu. He's Babish talking a level of deraisa of this Rush. This is Babish, Chidish, Agavi Chidish. He closes his chulin, and he goes back to Masechet Zevachim. Real, hardcore kachim. Kachim. You need introductions. A lot of introductions. Okay? So, there is a din that if a person does one of the four Avodas Adam, quickly, what are the four Avodas Adam? Shechita, Kabbalah, Halacha, walking the Davos back and Zerik. Okay? If you do any one of the four Zerikas Adams with potentially damaging Machshavos, you could potentially ruin this garden. There are four different kinds of psulei machshavas. Okay, the worst of the worst is what? Is chutzlo zmana. That's what we call in halacha pigul. Okay, machshavas pigul. That's a disaster. It is such a disaster that if you do any one of these four avodas with machshavas chutzlo zmana, now chutzlo zmana breaks down to two categories. Chutzlo zmana. What are you going to do chutzlo zmana? You're either going to eat part of the carbon chutzlo zmana, or you're going to be mocked or mocked for part of the Korban Chutzos Mano. So you did a Shechita, a Kabbalah, a Halacha, or a Zrika with the Machshava of either eating part of the Korban Chutzos Mano or being mocked for part of the Korban Chutzos Mano. That's class, that is the program. That is Machshava's Pigol. It is so bad, Pigol, that once you have the Machshava, even though you never got around to Chutzos Mano, it's only 5 minutes later, it's nowhere near the end of this man, you just create a chalei shame of a chetz of a pigo, and what's the ayinish eating pigo? You have karis. That's the worst of the worst. Then you have a little bit more watered down, the kind of psulim. You have, I did the exact same thing, a shechita, kabbalah, lacha, zrika, but I did it rather than chutz l'zman, I did a chutz l'komo, either to eat part chutz l'komo, etc. So what's the din? What's that called? It's not called pigo, it's called machsheves. Puzzle, just to differentiate. There's no real name for it. It's called Machshavas Puzzle. It's a Psul Chutzim Komo, Kantras Chutzim Mano. It's bad. Don't get me wrong. Korban's bad. Korban's Puzzle. But if I eat that Korban, what am I chayav? Malchus, like eating any other Psul Mokdoshin. I don't mean Psul Mokdoshin, like the. I mean a Korban that has a Psul in it. Not, the term Psul Mokdoshin has a double meaning to it. It can mean an animal that got a mum and then was nifta. That's one kind of Psul Mokdoshin. Then you have a Korban that brought the became Puzzle. So. It's bad, but not so bad. Not good. Then you have other kinds of psulim machshava, the lower level ones. What are those? A carbon shechted what? For a different carbon, let's say shechted ola l'shem chatas, a tov l'shem osham. I did a chutzla. I did a machshava shalol l'shma. That's the first mishnah. How bad is that? The machshava shalol l'shma. So that's very, very complicated, depending on what kind of carb we're talking about. That's already beyond the scope right now. That's Machsheves Chutz of Lishma. Then there's Machsheves Shalol Bailim. And then there's almost like a fifth one, in Huchas Korban Pesach, of Machsheves what? Shalol Ochlov. That means a shech the carbon for a person who wasn't royal kaft either because he's sick, because he's tommy, whatever it is. Again, we're not looking at the details right now. So let's stick to the first two categories. Machsheves Pigol, and Kazakh Machsheves Possel. And they're very, very important to know the difference, because one's karis, one's not. Coming to Mishnayos, throughout the beginning of the first 30-40 lines of Rachim, and keep on bringing back the same nekuda to us, that the only time something is pigol is if it was pigol, b'tchilah yatzoif in the following sense. If I was ma'arev imo machshavas acheres, if I had multiple things wrong with this carbon, that's not pigul. So pigul means I shechted it l'shem chutz l'zmano. That's it. I didn't do anything else wrong. But if I shechted a chutz with machshavas chutz l'zmano, and then I did a zrikas adam with the machshavas chutz l'komo, I would have thought you're just making matters worse. What's the answer? No, you're actually making matters better. That if there's any era of machshavas, any mixture, any other machshava in there that we can attribute a psul to, that's going to be mafkiyapi. Pigul is very selfish. It only works when it's by itself. If you have other things mixed in, so then that's the size people. Again, these are all based on Pesukim, Dirash, Allah, Mersina. You have to learn the first 50 blad as Vachim to appreciate all this. Fine. You're just trying to streamline the first 50 blad as all the Mesechta. With that background, the Gemara has the following, a few other pieces of information. You have to understand, appreciate this Rush. The Rush is saying a Shir Chulim, but he has the whole thing in the back of his mind. What would it din be in the following case? Let's say I shechted an animal, or I did a kabbalah sadam, or a lochas, or I did any one of the avodas. I'm a real lamda. I'm just a super duper lamda, right? I can't even like do a normal pigul. There's a shear of pigul. It's only called a machshavas pigul if I had in mind to eat or to be makriv X amount. What do you think that X amount is? What a great surprise. Kezias. How do we know it's a kezias? Because what's the phrase that the Torah uses to describe pigul? The Torah uses the lashon achila, and it uses the double lashon. Echad achilas adam, echad achilas mizbeach. That's the source that either achilas adam or achilas mizbeach will be the machshava. That's the machshava ha-mefagelas. But since the Torah uses the phrase achila, we tack on the halacha Moshe Mesinai of ein achila el bekezayas, and that is the necessary shia for your machshava. So machshava has to be, I'm going to shecht in this animal to eat a kezayas or more. Chutzis mano. If I have in mind, I'm going to eat, I'm going to die, and I only want to eat half a kezayis, chutzis mano, that's not pigul. Okay, again, these are mishnayis, gemaras, psukim, derar, drash, alach, moshe, these are like, everyone agrees with everything I just said, this is like, devon, pshut, and mandoid. But now, the Mishnah goes one step further. The Mishnah says, what if we do as follows? What if A guy shechts an animal. This guy's like a super lamb. I'm shechting the animal. I'm nas lechol chatzi zayis chutz lezmano v'chatzi zayis chutz what? Lemekomo. What do you think about that? So on the one hand, Barak, quick, half and half is a whole? Good, one. So we got a whole kezayis here. On the other hand, only half of the, I'm looking at this little olive over here. A little post-tubishvah. Half this olive has on it a chal shame of pigul, and the other half has a chal shame of puzzle. So what do you think? I can think of one of three possibilities. Either it's pigul, or it's puzzle, or it's kosher. So what's the answer? Pigul it's not. For sure, how in the world can a machshavas chutz mekomo create a thin pigul? It's impossible. If you think about it for a minute, first day of geometry. I hope you say it properly. Every pigul is also puzzle, but not every puzzle is pigul. Because if you think about it, pigul is more inclusive. Pigul means it's puzzle plus cards. Puzzle means it's not pigul. So comes the Mishnah, comes the Gemara, and says, if you mix together a half and half, what you can't have is what? You can't create pigul out of that. That's impossible. But what can you do? You can at least create puzzle. So that was the half London, okay? So these guys, imagine these guys in basic mikdash, they have nothing else to do with their time. All right? The guy learned to brisk a few years, he's going to shchita or something. Shchita. So now the next minkum poof does the following. He shechts the carbon for the following das. Hini mucham zumman, I'm shechting it, amanas, lechol, chatzi zayis, chutz lezmano, vechatzi zayis, chutz lemkoymoy, and another chatzi zayis, chutz lezmano. What do you think about that? So, quick, math tallies. One if kezesim. So how would you view that? Pure moments. Would you say that the first half zayis got married to who? To the second half kezayis. And that first half kezayis didn't have the koyach in the mefagel because it's holding hands for life with the chatzi zayis chutzim kaimer, which doesn't have the koyach in the mefagel. So we basically say that first machshavas of chatzi zayis is what? Is kemandalesa. You want to use a cool phrase? Maybe we can even call it batel. Right? It's batel. It's not here. It was just this batel. Now again, this has nothing to do with bitl barov and bitl bashishim and bitl batam. No, no, no. But what does bitl mean? Bitl means it's not here. It's kemandalay. We gave the chabetz a kick. It says but. We gave the avodah a kick. We gave the Torah kedushin. I don't want to say it. You know, mevatel Torah. It's not important to us. Torah doesn't matter. We got to watch the Super Bowl. Torah doesn't matter. So that's exactly what happened over here. The first half of kezayis doesn't really matter. It can't be taifes because it came in this batel by its very unique close relationship with the first kezayis of the Kumkama. But wait a second. Hold the phone. All of a sudden, coming over the horizon is riding in who?
Another
chutz lezmano, right? And it's about to break up that relationship between the first two, half kezayisim. Now, you're probably wondering, one second, hold on. That can't work. Because isn't there a din that you can't have a machshav acheres? Once you have a machshav acheres, machshav acheres is a mafkia from Pigul. What's the answer? That machshav acheres was not really a full-fledged machshava. It was a no pun. It was a half-baked machshava because it was only a half-baked kezayis. So potentially, the third machshava may be able to join forces with the first machshava, thereby sideswiping the middle kezayis. One in three can become teammates and roommates, and the union of those two forces will now create a what? A din of pigul. Or maybe I should say no. Maybe I should say that once that first kezayis was gone, it is gone goodbye, never to be resuscitated, never to be rejoined in anything else. And therefore, all I have in front of me is an awful lot of machshavas apostle, but no real kezayis of people. So believe it or not, that was a machlekes amarim. Okay, it was a machlekes amarim about that very nekuda. The heilig amarim, the third biggest machlekes was, everyone saw in the rush, everyone looked at that gemara. Did anyone know what the rush was talking about? Kind of, okay. That, am I right? That's the case. That's the scene. Machlekes. So, The Amir who says, who's it? Rabbi Nuna, who was it again? The Mandiyam who says that Pigol does come back to life uses the funny lashon. What does he say? Vayokei tapigol. Good morning, Pigol. Pigol wakes up. Says the Rosh. You know what that is? Chayz v'neir. So the Rosh says, it's chayz v'neir by Pigol, and that must be part of the regular theory about chayz v'neir and kol tara kula, and we can extrapolate from that chayz v'neir to our chayz v'neir. So you get this Rosh. In a million, first of all, before you read the Rosh, in a million years, you wouldn't know anything unless you really remember that Gemara in Zbachim. Okay, don't feel bad. I learned Zbachim, I also didn't remember that Gemara in Zbachim. Okay? When I was learning Chulim, that was not the first Gemara in my mind. But then the Rosh says, I'll do even better for you, says the Rosh. Don't tell me a story that my Shtikul Torah in Chulim depends on that Machlokes Amoraim. No, it's not true. Even the Amir Rediya who denies Chayz v'Neir, catch this alumnus. What does the Rosh say? That's a din prati, in Hilchos Pigol that he denies Chayz v'Neir. You know why? Because in Hilchos Pigol, there's a halacha that's screaming at you, Shrine Chedekai. You know what that halacha is? Lo yechashish, lo ya'ar machshavas acheres, and this also called the shtichol ira machshavas. So the machlaikis amarayim is not about the general rule about Chayz v'Neir. Everybody subscribes in your day in Chulam to the Chayz v'Neir. That's not even a shayla, says the Rosh. Of course, that's a din derayis, the Chayz v'Neir. The whole machlaikis is, are the details of Hilchos Pigol trump that otherwise principle in halacha? The Rosh Mamash turned the Gemara in Zbachim on its head. I wrote the Gemara in Zbachim and I thought, this has nothing to do with Chulam. I'm learning Zbachim, you're learning Chulam. I'm getting smicha and you're in Bristol because we're going to do each other. I said, I thought this is a machlokes. No, says the Rosh, everyone agrees to the basic principle of Chayz v'Neir and Chulam. And the whole machlokes is Kachim have anything about it that maybe unravels that principle. But the principle is for sure true in Chulam. And this is the fourth round of the Rosh. It's the four rayas. I told you yesterday, the Rosh has the Kiyas and Kol Tara Kula. Two rayas from Trumas involving Rishalmi, is one Sugim Becheiris, one Zbachim. There's not one raya anywhere near Maseches Chulam. So Shteit in Rosh. That's how the Rosh went to Sugim. So he passed in the Shai. He's passed in Shai in the kitchen based on these four rayas. Two Trumas, one Becheiris, and one Zbachim.
You're
going
to come to Rava who says that.
Yochet Tabigul.
Yeah. Don't you just have a problem about the Chatzit Shir of the Raisa, of the Chatzit Mekoma?
No, it's not Taita Sana. You want to say Chatzit Shir Asana Taira, so it's something not enough for Machshava to be Mafkiya, real Machshava of Yashon. So Rabbi Sai, suffice it to say that there are Rishonim who did not accept Chayz v'Neir. Okay, there are big Rishonim out there who did not accept it entirely. Some accept it in a very, very watered-down version of Chayz v'Neir. And there are clearly Rishonim who did not think that any of these four rayas are convincing. I feel so bad. We spent the whole day, one and a half days, we're trying to figure out the rayas, and now we have to chisel away at each raya, one by one. Because otherwise, the Halig of Rishonim, the Ravids and the Rambans, and all the Rishonim who never heard of this Chayz v'Neir across the board, they have to learn Trumas also. And they also learned Zbachim. And they also learned Becheiris. And none of them saw in any of these Gemaras anything that the Rosh saw. Nope. By saying, we're going to do Tayyulam Mitzah. We go one by one and chisel away at their eyes. Nope. What was Raya number one? Who remembers? Raya number one. Who remembers? What was Raya number one? Truma. Yeah. What happened over here? So let's get the numbers right. Let's see if we get the numbers. We started out with 100 of what? 100. And then never what happened? One thing of Truma fell. And the Chag is at Tanoim that if something hasn't happened yet, we're in trouble. Right? If something happens, we're good. What is that something that happens that's going to save the day? Havvah. That's the only thing that's going to save the day. And now Nebuch the Tanoim, I'm sure Rabbanah fighting it out. If it didn't happen, can we invoke some halachic, very mystical principle called Omeid, Lagbiya, Kamukbadami, or something or other, and say that Hagbah happened? What is it so special about Hagbah that saves the day? Because since the Dirabbanan, you require Hagbah, we will say with a straight face, looking straight in the eye, and say, there's no more Truman here, because I took it out already. And the guy says, what are you kidding? There's 100 to 1 against you. The odds are with you. I'm okay. I'm following the rabbis. The rabbis told me, I hit the jackpot. It's 100 to 1. I'll be getting the whole thing's Drabbanan anyway. The whole Meah's Drabbanan. So I could say with a straight face, I hit the jackpot. But Lule, being able to say with a straight face, not a chance. Says the Rosh, Zetman Fedoni, other Surim, where there's no such thing as hitting the jackpot because Hagbah's meaning is not required with Drabbanan. So the starting point, the base starting of the entire sugya is, of course, that's a problem. It's only the hitting the jackpot of Agba or Quasi Agba that solves the problem. Short of that, serious problem because of Chayz Vidneya. That's the Rosh's theory. Is there another way to read this Mishnah? Another way to read this Rishah? So Texas, yeah, put the Texas above a comma.
Number two.
Tosis gives it away. They didn't tell you the whole story, but they said enough to know the answer. Anyone figure out? What's the answer? Comes Tosis above the comma and alludes to another pshat that the Rosh also alludes to and rejects. Comes Tosis and says, we totally and completely misunderstood what the role of Hagbah is in this Mishnah. We thought that Hagbah is the mechanism to declare that the Truma is not here anymore, and therefore we're not worried with the Chayz of Vineyar. That was the Rosh's version of the Mishnah, and we had problems there because it's just the odds don't add up. We had a finagle a little bit before. Tosfos Bava Kamma said you missed the boat. That's not what the goal of Hagbah is. I'll tell you what the goal of Hagbah is. There's no such thing as Chayz of Vineyar. Once Bittel is Chal, it's Chal, and nothing's going to overturn Bittel. There's only one condition. I said it. Once Bittel is what?
Chal.
It's Chal. Bittel has to be Chal in order for us to declare it's over, the game's over, we'll steal from the Rosh, it's an epoch Leos Heter, never to be resuscitated, never to come back to Kismetim, there's no Chayz Vinei or nothing, but Chayt Lo Yav, Bittel has to be Chal. Can somebody please tell me what has to happen in order for Bittel to be Chal? So number one, he has to ask to fall to the Heter, that's for sure. Number two, just as an aside, that's not even enough. What else has to happen? You have to know the Yisavel to that. That's a quirk in Ukas Tarovas, that what you don't know doesn't help you, doesn't hurt you. So you have to have your Dias Tarovas, that's a Tesef. You have to know that the Yisavel, good, very good. And guess what, Rabbi said? By Truma, even that's not enough. By Truma, we can never say it ain't over until, I don't want to say the phrase, but you know what I mean, it ain't over until somebody sings. It ain't over till it's over in Truma, and it ain't over until what happens? Till Agbah Sa Truma. Kol's man that you didn't do Agbah Sa Truma, the Tarovis is still in motion. It hasn't settled, the pieces that haven't settled yet in place. Like Chazin, the Veil of the Trade, once it happens physically in the idea, so Tarovis are good to go. But by Truma, you require Agbah. Rabosai, did anyone catch what I just said in the name of Tosfos? According to the Rosh, Hagbah was helping you or hurting you?
Help
you big time. Why? Because what did Hagbah do? Hagbah enabled you to overcome Chayz Vinei by looking with a straight face and saying, yep, I hit the jackpot. According to Tosfos Bava Kamma, anyone see the line in Tosfos Bava Kamma? Tosfos Bava Kamma says, the second of my Mekaymas, the long reading of Rishu Re'afal Gav, the number they have, the Hasam Tzach Laharim, Uvinin Ha'achar Ein Kuf Soshalof Lamatirim. That's all Tosfos said. Six words. Tosfos says, you have to be Magbia. And since you have to be Magbia, Kol's man, you weren't Magbia, what happens? The Tarovas hasn't yet reached completion. And if the Tarovas hasn't settled yet, then what can you not say? What cannot happen? Can't say Bittel. And if you're still in motion, the Tarovas is still moving, the pieces are still moving, haven't settled in place yet, what could potentially do you in? If more what? If more Truma falls in. Is that Chayz Vineyar? Not by any stretch, that's Chayz Vineyar. That's the same Tarovas. Chayz Vineyar means we are capacity that's with her. 6 months later we go back and revisit it, we'll be a Chesimation. The Chayz Vineyar means the patient died. Died, buried, demand, over history, and now Baruch Hashem Chesimation happened 6 months later. Chayz Vineyar, there wasn't Agbah, the patient's on life support. Doesn't look good. But it ain't over till it's over. And that's not Chayz Vineyar. That's because the patients are alive. That means the Tarovas hasn't happened yet. So everybody agrees, says Tosfos, you need Agbah Sa Truma to be Matir. You need Agbah Sa Truma in order for the Tarovas to be Chal. and Kolzman, you have it in Akbar, you're in big trouble. Comes Rabbi Shimon to the rescue. What does Rabbi Shimon say? Not that you don't need Akbar, but what? Why? Oh, come on with them. You did Akbar already. So according to Rabbi Shimon, the Terebus is over. And therefore, when more heads in, you're good to go. And the Rabbanan, who didn't buy the Shimon's vision of the world of Kol Amid Ligvo, say, no, that's not. The Rabbanan ain't over yet. So the same way, according to the Rush, there's a Machlek, Rabbi Shimon, the Rabbanan, did you do Hagbah? The Rush's version of the role of Hagbah was to undo a Chayz of a name. According to Tosfos, that's not the role of Hagbah. The role of Hagbah is to finish off the Taravos. But if you have other Taravos and they don't need Hagbah, that the Tarovus is done without Akbar. It's a machloikis mamish from a kotzel a kotzel tin toys of the Rosh. Everyone chapped that toys of Babakama? Who suggested this idea? The Rosh. The Rosh suggested this as a possible dichoy. Anyone saw it? The Rosh himself said it in that long, long Rosh. The Rosh says,
Eight line?
The lake of Lameimai, the time of the Rabbanan Gavitrum Shum, the Boha Ramah, Hukachlon is Batla Harishona. Don't say like who? It doesn't have a comma. Ababishari Sur in the low Boha Ramah, is Batla Harishona, the Slim and Stavla Harishona. Don't say that. Halesa, why is up the rush? The Harama in Elub de Gezla Shevet, of Aino Seres Habaduma. What does the rush say? When you have a Taravis of Truman Chulin, when is the Taravis Osir? When is the Taravis over? When if and you had Yudias HaTorah, that's all you need. There is no need for Hagbah. You need Hagbah for a Zaytik reason, a tangential reason. Why did you mind? It's not nice to the Kohen. The Gezla Kohen. What's the Rosh saying, everybody say? That you can't fall back on Taisa and say that the Tarevus is not over to Hagbah? That's not true. The Tarevus is over like any other Tarevus. The fact is a Zaytik HaLocha that you need Hagbah, that's all Gezla Shevet. That's not your day. Does that do the sad? That do the mominess? That Hagbah that's lacking, hasn't yet been performed, will in no shape or form impact on the status of the Taravis. Taravis is over. If Taisus is right, Taravis is over. And the Mishnah doesn't read smoothly. And what did Taisus clearly hold? Once Chazal and Mesake, you have to be Magbia. I mean, I tell you, you don't have to. I tell you, it's possible. But once Chazal and Mesake, you have to be Magbia, they revamped the Taravis. They said, Kozman, you want a Magbia? In this of a heter, it's what? It's not bottom. So in between the lines, as Machlek says in the Rush, as the longest, what was the nature of this requirement of Hagbah? According to the Rush, the Yerdeya part is over without Hagbah. Hagbah is a zaytik, a tangential requirement. This doesn't impact you there. But according to Tosfos, no, the lack of Hagbah impacts negatively on the Taravis. The Taravis has not yet become his bottom, because once with the Rabbanan, they require Hagbah, the lack of Akbar means that Taravis isn't over yet. It's not Mutu yet. A very, very darkest thing about Chloik is as to what the Gedit that comes to Chum of Akbar was. But that's the make or break, Tosfos of the Rosh's trap. So, a couple of them, let's get back to the Rosh for a second. The worldview of the Rosh, Akbar has no impact in your day whatsoever. It's really not doing your day. The Rosh rejected Tosfos Dichoy because he couldn't believe that Akbar has anything with your day. Is the Rosh completely consistent in that theory?
The rest of his rahis.
What's the? What does the Rush turn around and say? The Rush turns around and say, "Don't shepherd me with Hagbah. Hagbah has zero relevance to Issa V'Heter." But wait a second. According to the Rush, what undermines Chayz of Aneya by Truma? The Hagbah, because we have a right to say Midirabanan that hit the jackpot. If you're telling me that Hagbah has nothing to do with Issa V'Heter, how does that din the Rabbanan of requiring Hagbah enable you to say hit the jackpot and now there's no more Issa left and now you don't have a Chayz V'Neiah problem? Everyone come? The Rush is a shtickle, I don't want to say inconsistent, he's walking a very, very fine line. So the Rush is saying that vis-a-vis the din of unraveling Chayz V'Neiah, he's willing to call it having an impact in Yerodea. Vis-a-vis the original sugya that the Taravis doesn't know, but that is that way. It's a big chiddush, this Rush. You see, everyone chop that line? If you chop that line, mata. If you didn't chop the line, don't worry about it. You're still with us, okay? So just a little bit of a mashu of a steer in the Rush. I'll go point back to that story. So again, the first raya, the chul and truma story. What's the answer? We have a raya. No raya. Why is it no raya? Because hagba holds man she'ain hagba. So lo chal habitol. That's lo chal habitol. So then the fact that you're eating more is that's a chayz b'neir. That's just a, that's like all falling at the same time. It's lo chal habitol. Everyone got us. So we got the first raya of the rush. We thought it was a gabaldic raya. We just reflect. We just reflect.
No, the rush defends himself at the end of the day.
The rush says he doesn't buy into Tosis Dichoy. Yeah. I know that. But the Tosis didn't buy into the rush's Dichoy if it's Dichoy. And the rush didn't buy into Tosis Dichoy, the Dichoy. And that's where we're going to stop. Okay? Good. Rabbi Sai, Raya number two. Who's got Raya number two for me? Chazanu, it's Raya number two. Who remembers? I got the wrong numbers here, right? Opposite numbers. What's Raya number two? I have what? I
99
have
to
50. 50 Chulim. Nebuch 1. On Truma, what did we say? What did we pass in? Ah, also, right?
That was 99 to
1. Less than 100, okay? Also, disaster. Then what happened afterwards?
They're on Bishogig.
What? Bishogig, all of a sudden somebody started adding in more. Now, Baruch Hashem, Bishogig. Now I have, what? Now I got 100 chulin. On Truma. Avaldik, Meridik. What does the Mishnah say? Good to go, right? Had to go more. Means be back, be a please. Don't leave out the poor cone in the dark. But Lamai sets both of the Yisrael for the Zayt. This time, this. Check the Rosh Kasha. No, no. What's Kasha? Says the Rosh. What is that? Why do we say that at stage one the Hetta was this battle? Hetta was gone. Hetta was finished. It's history. The fact that you're adding on 50 more and you're getting to 150 plus 50 doesn't equal 100. Yeah, 50 plus 50 equals 100, 50 plus 0 doesn't equal 100. So why don't we say that first 50 had there was 0, with this bottle, it's gone? The answer is it was never really this bottle, because it's Chayz v'Neir. Oh, Chayz v'Neir works, that meant for dog, it worked Ben L'Kul Ben L'Chumah. That's the Rosh's theory, right? I remember the rhyme from yesterday. Who wants to be better than that rhyme? So that the Berman, I thought you were going to say one, then you switch to another one. I think they're both right. But I'm not sure you meant to be doing to guys. I'm going to say Pshat and Dr. Berman's double Dichoy. I have a big, big problem with this rush. Huge problem. Gittel is presupposing that something was Bothel. I mean, the item that you want to be mevatel is subject to the rules of bittul. In the Rosh's second raya, what's the davar habatol potentially here? Chulin, which is the davar what? Hawa? Davar hamutter. Is there bittul on the davar hamutter? Scratch our heads. We've been so used for 6 months to saying, I got 2 pieces of kosher meat and 1 piece of trace meat. Turn around. 2 pieces of trace meat and 1 piece of kosher meat. Bittul or no? I can't eat it because I don't have row, but no question, is the kosher meat potel? They have left me some malchus and other kinds of tumors, other kinds of things. Is there a parsha of bittul and davar mutter? Can a davar mutter be potel altogether? So what is the rush? Okay, we have work to do, okay. What's the rush assuming? In his raya?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because if the rush didn't assume that the davar mutter was potel, this would be zero relevance to his proof that his Zabra bought to come back to life, because quite frankly, it was never possible in the first place. So Zabin from Rush, the Hiliger Rush, you see, the Rush is assuming Dvar Mamutar Babutelu. The parish of Bittul applies to Zabra Hamutar also, as equally valid to Zabra also. And therefore, says the Rush, Bittul really works. And since Bittul works, how's it coming back to life? Seventhly, see from the other Chayz B'nei. If one undermines that principle of the Rush, one assumes that Bittul doesn't work in a Dvar Mamutar, then Nafalesa, Nafalbin, the entire right number two is going to unravel. Anybody know who's the Bar Plukta on the Rush? Which great Rishon says that it's not true, Bittul Taka doesn't work on the Devar Mutter. There's no such thing, no such animal, no such entity. Anyone know? We spoke about this years ago. It's a Ramban of Bavashar Tavbeis. We've been in all places. What's it doing in Bavashar Tavbeis? The Chitza Kershin Efritzah. Rabban quotes Yesh Omrim. We're going to hopefully talk about that story a lot more. It's very, very relevant for the next couple of days. The Rabban quotes a theory, Yesh Omrim, the Heter is Lopoto. Parsha Bittul was given an Issa, not a Heter. If that's true, then the entire deck of cards that the Rush just set up with Raya number two just came crumbling down. Not really, so not what they need. If I say, what do you think that depends on? Should bit the work of Davar Mutter or not? What do you think? It depends on two things. Okay, Dr. Moon's ready the second half. So far you said two things, I made it to four already. Who's got the ball rolling? New? Who can start telling me a little bit about this? If I were to wake you up, you've been learning Chulin now for 5 months. Okay? 5 months of Chulin, two blot into the Sechta. We've been talking for a week and a half on two words, and we know when you're done. And I would stop you and I'd say, you know, from the middle of August until the middle of February, we were talking about Bitli Surim, and we never really spoke about Bitli Teirim. What do you think? Think you'd ever put the bottle or not? What would you, how would you even begin to deal with that question? What?
Source.
Probably look at the source, probably be a good place, but until Reb Chaim, we weren't even sure what the source was. Okay. So it all boils down to a tshuva and what's safer. Only Yom Tov Sinan. Good guess. Very good. Yeah, silly dollar. Okay, very good. The famous tshuva, the Oni Gyantif. Shaza tshuva is Oni Gyantif. The Oni Gyantif is a Rav in Bialystok. Or the Gedolei Gedolei Gedolei. The time, the 1800s. Shaza tshuva is Oni Gyantif. And he has the following shayla. Fascinating shayla. The din is that in order for strings to be kosher for tzitzis, you have to be made l'shma. You have to tvias, you have to spin the wool l'shma. If not, possible in a term. Believe it or not. A guy's got three piles of strings in front of him. Two of them, he knows, for what? Was spun l'shma. One of them was not spun l'shma. Rabbi, can I take? Literally. Can I take all three of them? And I'll get another one for the fourth corner and use them all. Rave. Bittel be rave. Rabbi, I've had three pieces of meat. Two of them are kosher. One was straight. Let me eat all three according to the Rush. So can I take these chutim and use them? Well, you want to make it more relevant for us? I got matzahs. Shmat b'tzvah. Matzahs to make the shema. I got two pieces of matzah made the shema, and one of them was not made the shema. I'm sitting by the Seder. I have no way of recognizing which is which. It's chad betray yavish b'yavish min b'mino. Got all the trappings of a charam matzahs. Rabbi, can I sit down and eat these matzahs? The yotzei be'aretz for matzah not. The shan the Oni Gyantif. Says the Oni Gyantif. This is a very, very long dish of shan. You know why? Says the Oni Gyantif. Bittul has been found and documented. He didn't write this in English, but I will translate it in English. To remove characteristics. We have never found Bittul to grant characteristics. Bittul kishmoy kenu, I can be mavatul. I can negate qualities and personality traits. A piece of meat that's straight has a characteristic to it. It's called tarfus. I can get rid of that. Bittul barov can remove that. But I've never ever found Bittul barov doing is to grant positive traits. In order for the tzitzis to be kosher, catch this lumpus. Why is it that tzitzis that were not made l'shma is possible? Because there's a psul shalom l'shma. It's a joke. Why is it possible? It's the absence of l'shma. Because the mice, it wasn't on l'shma. It's a total aside. Don't laugh at that hakira so fast. That why it's it is that one of the shema apostle. Are they apostle because they're lacking the shema? Are they apostle because they have a psul shema? It's the first briskerov in Zvachim. Anyone ever walked into brisk has heard this briskerov thousands of times. Briskerov has a pilpul, a whole shil terah by the din of shalom shema by kochim. Is shalom shema a lack of a positive machshava? Or shalol l'shma, a negative machshava. So a lot of terrors about this. I read, there was an article a few months ago in Mishpacha. It was Mishpacha. About the whole world of brisk. So they were describing how many people stand and wait, like Rami Yeshua, to try to get in. How It said that everyone's standing there and chasming over the same brisket rub 10 million times. The walls of Rav Yeshua's living room have heard this. Because that's the only thing. A kid comes and he learns Hashem's secret his whole life. He doesn't know a thing about Kachim. But he knows that if he doesn't know this, he's in trouble. So every Tom, Dick, and Harry, every Shubach knows this brisket rub in the basis. Fine. So comes Yeri Yantif and says that if all Bittul could do is remove characteristics, then we're going to be very, very weary about applying Bittul to create a kosher tzitzis, create a kosher matzis. If maybe Bittul can do that trick, which we don't know where in the world that comes from, then we may be in for business. So if they say, hopefully Mishnah tomorrow, we have to start off with the Seder Yontif, see whether the Seder Yontif is relevant for our discussion about Heter, and then analyze very, 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 very well this Rosh's Raya and the Cholkim Alov. Then we have two more Rayas to go, and then we can begin the sugya. Okay, this is just the introduction. So again, if I say tomorrow, try to daven no later than everyone's ready by theoretically 8:45. Again, the odds are 5 won't be a month 8:45, but anytime after that. Okay?